it's better than going to the emergency room on certain things, especially things that happen to do with foot, ankle, hand, upper extremity, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, trauma, sport med, or urgent injury. They also have now partnered and purchased Engineered Performance. Engineered Performance is an exceptional opportunity for DMOS and for them to become leaders in elite sports rehabilitation and performance training in Central Iowa. Our integrated team of physicians, physical therapists, and performance specialists are here to help you achieve greatness. DMOS Des Moines Orthopedic, thank you for being a part of the program. My next guest is Zach Steenblok, coming on at 5 o'clock on Wednesday when he was supposed to come on at 5 o'clock on Tuesday. Welcome into the show, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's been a long day, but ready to talk some sports.
It has been a long day. It's been a Wednesday. Man, that's what we're looking at. Okay. Haven't talked to you for a little bit. All the things that happened over the weekend, your biggest sports story would be?
I mean, it's got to be the Broncos-Seahawks game. Just your opener as a new head coach and just absolutely busting it down. They should have won that game.
Piddling down his leg.
It looked like an Iowa State game, honestly. I mean, you probably already talked about it. It's the most recent thing to happen. Not recency biased, I don't think. It was one of the marquee games of the week. You know, I think people aren't realizing how big of a deal it is for Russell to, you know, play against the Seahawks at Seattle in his first game as a Bronco on a new team. It's weird, right? These are a lot of the same guys he's been in the locker room with for a long time, and it's got to be weird. But I was happy that the Seahawks won.
You are a Seattle Seahawks fan.
I am. But, you know, you bet the other side of what you feel, and it was not a good Sunday night for myself, or Monday night. And for a lot of people, I assume, too.
I did the same. I did that in the Iowa-Iowa State game. I bet on Iowa winning and thought it would be the best $25 I've ever spent in my life. And I have to tell you, it was. It was great. I loved it. So I understand where you're coming from. A couple of things. I thought, I like Pete Carroll. I think some of the things Pete Carroll said was kind of childish. Dude, Pete Carroll didn't want Russell Wilson there. Russell Wilson didn't want to be there with Pete Carroll. I think everybody knew that. It was coming to a head. It was going to happen sometime. And Nathaniel Hackett ruined my whole weekend because my whole speech was these teams need to be hiring offensive-minded coaches. And then he pulls a dumb stunt like that. And I listened to him today double down saying, hey, we had the 46-yard line as the place we needed to be, and if we got there, we knew we were going to kick a field goal. And I'm like, dude, not the 46 on your side of the field. You need to be at the 46 on the other side of the field. What an idiot.
Yeah, he was just dumb. And I don't mind the call if it's in mile high.
Right.
And NFL kickers can make that. And he just barely kind of pushed it. And if he would have made it, it would have been a whole other story. But we always see the last plays of the NFL games being like, oh, you could have won the game there. That's where it ended. No, you could have won the game when you turned it over twice on the goal line. And another part was they should have taken a timeout at the end of the game, and Absolutely. They didn't. And then they did at the very last second. But then also every single play that the Broncos ran, they took the play clock all the way down. Like, have some urgency. Maybe it's just because they haven't been playing together and it's going to get better, but yeah, it looked weird and unorganized.
It was weird. And you know, when you look at that, you know, I'm trying to think of any other games. The Steelers-Bengals game was, I mean, people said how great a game it was, and it was just a game of...
It was atrocious.
Yeah, it was a game of just horrible play. And... that just happened to have an exciting last part of it because both teams were so inept at what they were trying to do. And then you have the Houston Texans and Indianapolis Colts doing the same thing. And except for theirs at least ended in a tie, so someone wasn't punished for playing bad. I don't know if they're – I think the cleanest and best game that I saw all weekend in it, I don't know if it – it was two. It was the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think people thought the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs are two of the best football teams, at least two of the top three in the National Football League, and both of them look like it.
Yep, and I totally agree. A lot of the teams that people were high on looked weird. You know, everyone was expecting the Bengals to, you know, come out firing. Joe Burrow turned the ball over five times.
Running for his
just,
life.
Right. Kyler Murray played so weird, and they just played so bad. The team I like out of the weekend was the Vikings. I thought they played very well. I thought Kirk Cousins played well. Their defense played very well. Yes, the Packers start slow. We know that from past years, and there are some guys injured, but I think the Vikings are going to be a good playoff team this year.
If they had Mike Zimmer, they would have scored half that many points and probably lost that game. So having Kevin O'Connell is a huge, huge deal for the Minnesota Vikings. And you saw it. You saw how the kids, how those guys played, how loose they played. The offense had control. It wasn't all defense. Oh no, we can't put our defense in a bad situation, so we're not going to give our offense any kind of flexibility. All the things that we hated about Mike Zimmer was not there. And the only other team that I thought is intriguing, the Philadelphia Eagles have some talent on both offense and defense, and that's not a good division they're in. So they might have an easier way to the playoffs than just about anybody.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles are fun to watch. The fans, first off, the fans are hilarious.
Yes.
And, you know, it's fun to watch Jalen Hurts. He started off a little slow, a little rough. Kind of got not the boot at Alabama, but, you know, he's like, I want to play football. I can play at a high level. And it's nice to see him come out of his shell a little bit and, you know, be able to run the team all on his own.
Yeah, I agree with that. We've gone 7 minutes and we haven't talked about the Iowa State game. I wanted your take on I think my biggest take of the weekend. And it was the Feltsy, who's on social media, and him and I go back and forth all the time. He's a really cool kid. Saying, you know, it's not that big a deal. It's one game. And I shot back at him. I'm like, listen, Matt Campbell's whole thing has been, it's a process. Well, the process doesn't work if you don't win that game at least once. And now he's done it. So now you don't have to worry about when you say it's a process and people saying, well, you haven't beat Iowa. Well, he finally did. I don't care how he did it. I'm just glad he did do it. And he did it there, which makes it even more important.
Yeah. I mean, these games are always gross. High strung atmosphere is pretty nuts. I wish we could play at the end of the season instead of the beginning of the season. It would just be fun, you know, do it every other year at the end of the season or something. But you know, Campbell had that, you know, that monster on his back, and he's finally, you know, got that off. It wasn't pretty. I mean, we should have gave Iowa the game, but you can probably say the same thing about them to us. They kind of gave it to us, but we just got to take care of the ball going forward. That should be the one takeaway from the game, and especially taking care of the ball in the red zone.
Right. It should have been a 2-touchdown game in our favor, and it wasn't because of mistakes, but it's also his. It was also the first game that he's been in a hostile environment. It's been the first game that he's playing, I believe, and I think other people believe, at least at worst, a top 10 team defensively in the entire country, if not more. I think probably more in the top five with the type of people they have. For Hunter Deckers, I think that seeing him in two games now, that we have a keeper.
Yeah, I agree, and he's young too, which is nice. And Xavier Hutchinson, how good is he?
Yeah, he's good.
I mean, he's probably going to end up being the best receiver in Iowa State history, which they have a lot of good receivers that have came through. But man, he's so fast, and he can get open so well.
Once again, we're talking to Zach Steenblok. He's at Zach Steenblok on Twitter. Dig deep for this. Give me one reason that Matt Campbell would leave Iowa State to go coach at Nebraska.
Probably just the Big 12, everything that's been going on, and the Big 10 adding people, and the SEC. I'm very nervous, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. He's been at Iowa State for a while. And there's kind of been a coaching carousel, honestly, since he came. There's other teams. I know he's been on some short lists. And I know it doesn't matter a bunch, but, I mean, Nebraska has a lot of money. I think he could probably do the same thing he does at Iowa State, at Nebraska. A lot of the same recruiting, you know, tactics, area. It worries me.
Wow. Now you have me concerned, because I'm like, I've looked at the last, you know, since he's been at Iowa State. I mean, he has a better record. They've been to bowl games. Nebraska hasn't had any of that. Now, I don't know if that, I mean, here's the part that I think, and I wanted your take on this. Their last five coaches, they fired all five of them. I mean, that's not a structure that you want to go to. And you're talking about Trev Alberts compared to Jamie Pollard. And that's your future. That's who you're trusting to move your program in the direction with you. You have Trev Alberts, who's now fired two coaches. And he's getting ready to fire a third because Fred Hoiberg's on the way out as well.
Right.
Against stability at Iowa State with no ties to Nebraska. I mean, I thought if he'd had ties to Nebraska, I might have bought it. But now you have me worried.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Nebraska isn't what it's been. But, I mean, their fans are still the same. They sell out every single game, no matter how many games they win. But you're right. It is tough to go somewhere where they fired everyone and you could be fired on a drop of a dime. You know, but that's a good point. I mean, Campbell has, you know, everything he needs and wants at Iowa State, but everyone has a number. So
if Notre Dame goes 2-9, now that they don't have a quarterback, you know, I that's always been my thought process, is that Ryan Day goes, you know what, I'm going to go try my hand in the NFL, or Notre Dame comes open. I just didn't think it would be Nebraska, and I hope that is not what's going to happen. I just pulled up the NFL schedule for this week. Some interesting games. Probably no games more interesting than the Chargers and the Chiefs in Kansas City. I kind of thought if that game was in L.A. early in the season, maybe the Chargers would have a shot. Do you think the Chargers can come in and beat Kansas City at home?
I do, just because the NFL's weird, first of all. I mean, when the Chiefs were, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago, when they seemed like they were just pounding everyone, they lost to, I think it was the Raiders at home or something like that. That's just how volatile the NFL is. I think it's going to be close. I don't think you're going to get the same show as you got last weekend when they played the Cardinals.
I don't think the Cardinals coach is going to make the season, dude. I don't think he's going to last.
Didn't they just pay him a bunch of money?
Yeah, I just think that game plan and how he, I mean, I would be worried with some of my coaches if that's how they coach in their first game. You've had the whole entire year to coach that one game, and you can't. I mean, their game plan was horrible, Zach.
Right, and it being an NFL too, you know, one game doesn't matter, and it's the first game of the season. Not saying that I am high on the Cardinals, but just, you know, everyone who lost in week one. I mean, last year the Packers got smoked, I think, by the Saints week one, and then they end up winning the division and got the number one seed in the NFC. So I think it'll be close. I think it should be a good game. The over-under is pretty high just because of the caliber of the two offenses. And you know, Patrick Mahomes said in an interview, it's going to be someone else every single game. And, you know, you saw that, last Sunday. I mean, Kelce had a lot of targets, but I mean, he's one of the best receivers / tight ends, in the NFL. But I can see them running a lot more through Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and the defense has to step up, against Justin Herbert.
Yeah. He's the real deal.
I want to say I like the points for the Chargers. What is it, like 5?
Yeah, it is. The last time I saw it, yeah. It was. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
but I like the point.
Yeah, and that's playing in Kansas City, which isn't easy to do. So, I mean, it you would think in Kansas City, even as good as what they are, that that would be a 7, 7.5 point game. So they know something that we probably don't know. Going back to Iowa State, now that you get that Iowa game, you get this game, and then you get Baylor coming in next weekend at 11 o'clock on a Saturday. Expectations playing someone like Baylor on your fourth game of the season?
It's exciting just to – you don't have to wait super long to play some good opponents in conference play. But Baylor's for sure going to have a chip on their shoulder from, you know, the game they played last Saturday against BYU.
Yeah, Dave Aranda's a good coach. I listened to a couple of interviews on the radio that he has. I mean, he's an interesting guy, and has a philosophy to coach football like Matt Campbell has a philosophy to coach football. It's not old school. It's not new school. It's different school.
I don't know too much about him, but I think every Big 12 game is going to be close. I don't think many teams will blow each other out. I'm excited for our road games. We play a lot of good road teams this year.
We do, and next year you're going to have BYU, Cincinnati, Central Florida, and Houston, and all of them are pretty good, and it's going to be a really good conference. Thanks for jumping in, buddy. Sorry I didn't have you on at 5 yesterday. I'm glad you came in today.
No problem.
Have a good one. Tell the Pup Dogs I said hi. Zach Steenblatt, next up, Maddie Nelson. Now we get to talk Iowa State stuff, and it's going to be fun. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We'll be right back.
Here's a look at traffic on 101 Steen on Sports. Join the conversation on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Wednesday. Drive safe. We got to get you home. That's the important thing. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. Where am I going to go? We're going to go to Heritage Building Maintenance. It's going to be the sponsor of this segment. Founded in the Midwest in 2011, they provide quality, health-centric building maintenance. We believe the cleaning industry should provide the first line of defense in proper health care. Always looking for the right process to provide the highest quality, safest, and most healthy environment for the people that you're looking out after. We are certified partners in science-proven microbial control, the state-of-the-art protection to keep their environment safe and more healthy for all involved. My next guest is Maddie Nelson. He is at Maddie, it's been so long. It's at @MNelson_ISU. How you doing, buddy?
Steen, I'm back like a bean burrito. What's up?
There you go. How are you?
I am great. I am driving with my two daughters here at home. And, you talked about getting home safe, Steen. I hope they buckled up the Cy-Hawk trophy as the Cyclones brought that thing back to AIM.
Wow. What a great thing that is. And I'm glad the family's doing great. They got to be getting big. Holy cow.
Growing like weeds, Steen, which is apropos for what I do here in my job as an agronomist. But today I'm happy to talk sports because we've got a lot to talk about.
We do. But I have to one agronomy question. With the rain and everything and all we have, we're getting close. What's the crops like?
It's a good question. And the answer depends, which as an agronomist, that's the easiest cop-out answer of all time.
Depends on where you are.
Very variable this year. It depends on your zip code, really. The rain has kind of bounced around and some people have gotten it. It has missed others. So it really does truly depend on where you happen to be and if you caught rain. Most of my territory, Steen, I would say, looks anywhere from, you know, really stressed and yields are maybe going to be not quite what we had hoped, but still not terrible to, in some spots, it's going to be great, especially as you go up towards Cedar Falls, Waterloo, that area. They've gotten just all kinds of rain in northeast Iowa, but we'll see. Hopefully the weather cooperates and we can get harvest started here in 2 weeks and get through it quickly.
If I would have talked to you before the game on Saturday and said, Matt, what are the two or three things that have to happen in order for us to win this football game, what would they have been?
They would have been to run the ball, to not turn the football over, and to capitalize when you get chances in their end zone. And Steen, we didn't do two out of those three things, and we still managed to win the game.
And that, I'm trying to think. I had one of my Iowa guys on. I had David Eichold on, and I'm trying to think how, because I thought the same thing. I mean, that was the last thing that I said on Friday before I got off the air is, if we're the only ones turning the ball over, we're losing the game. If we could get one turnover, maybe that's the one change from all of these football games, that when we're turning the ball over, we're losing. If we get one turnover, no matter how many turnovers we have, if we get one, maybe right. That changes the game. And to be really honest, I think it changed the game.
I think it did too. It broke that barrier, so to speak, the stat of, you know, them. They haven't turned it over in a Cy-Hawk game against Iowa State since Gerald Ford was president. You know, whatever that stat was, they finally broke it. And I think being able to see that they could do that in this game was big. I also think, you know, after you have that punt block and give up a touchdown, to give them more good field position with the defense to find ways to get stops, I think let the offense know, all right, we can try to hang around in this game long enough to get something done.
One of the things, and I can remember it like it was yesterday, see if you can. One of the first times I had you on, and it was Wolfgang and I and you, and one of the things that we always discussed was the one downfall we have as a football program is if something happens to somebody on our defensive line or offensive line, our season's shot. This might be, and maybe unexpectedly, I don't know, but this might be one of the best offensive line and deeper offensive lines that we've ever had.
Without a doubt, and probably one of the most talented as well, Steen, and playing a lot of young guys too. That's probably something that we have not talked enough about. There were a few plays where they maybe got beat or gave up some pressures, but
against a great defense too, though.
A terrific defense. They completely neutralized Iowa's front seven, and the front seven is the best part of that defense. I think most Iowa fans would agree with that statement. So, really an impressive job. You know, Jack Campbell had, you know, nine tackles and one quarterback hurry, but Steen, Iowa State ran like 80 offensive plays. I think he's usually a lot more involved in that defense than he was. And I noticed it when I watched the tape for the Sumo game, that in that second half, Steen, when they started to run really well, they had a lot of guys moving to the second level, way more than I'm used to seeing. And I think we saw that translate over to that Iowa game on Saturday. And Jairo Block also, he gets some of the credit. The way that he's able to spin out of tackles, run through some tackles as well, is nothing short of impressive.
And I have to say, and I didn't realize this, and we were watching the game, we were having a great time. I didn't even see it until somebody sent it. A Dowling Catholic boy who hasn't played an awful lot, Zach Ross, came in and had a huge play, pancaked a guy, opened up, got us a first down because someone got nicked, and then he went back out, and they brought in some other people. They were keeping their offensive line healthy and fresh, and that is a huge accomplishment for Matt Campbell and this program. And then when you add in, you know, you get a grad transfer, you get some young kids on defense, and they're coming in, you're giving them time, and you're giving them time in a huge game at a huge moment. It can only make things better.
No doubt. And we've had a game scene where the offensive line against Iowa has been almost a debacle. There was the, I think it was 2018 game, it's either the 18 or 19 game in Kinnick Stadium, where they weren't sure who they were going to play. They ended up starting Sean Foster, and the offensive line just melted down. And we gave up sacks. We couldn't run the ball. So to see this against that team, it's just really nothing short of incredible, especially where this program has been. He's got to be the first coach that has been able to generate not offensive line talent. Carter Bykowski, Kelechi Osemele, they were NFL guys on past rosters. But to be this deep and be able to rotate players like that and be effective against an incredible defense is just incredible.
You know, and I just had – I had my oldest son on, and you know, I wanted to talk as many people as I could, and he wanted to talk about X. He goes, we have X, and a lot of people don't. That does make a difference.
Yes. Very true. We have X that a lot of people don't. I agree with you. I've talked to even some Iowa fans and said, man, that kid is really good. And he is. And he was good last year's team, but never really was a feature of the offense. And I think that's just one of the differences that you see with Tom Manning utilizing Hunter Deckers differently, is that X is going to continue to be part of the offense. And if he has a big game against Ohio on Saturday, get ready for the Heisman chatter to start around him, because quite frankly, Steen, if he has two more touchdowns and 150 yards, and you look at his stats on the season, they are nothing short of ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it is, and it's incredible. And I had to, when I came in on Monday, I had to say this. I'm like, listen, here's the thing. When Brock Purdy came in against Oklahoma State and we didn't know what it was going to be like, he led us on one of the greatest rides that we've ever seen. And this is no disrespect to Brock Purdy, but Hunter Deckers is a totally different quarterback and more of an NFL-style quarterback than what Brock Purdy was.
Dean, he puts the ball time and time again effortlessly into windows where only our receiver can get it. And not that Brock could not do that. We did not ask him to do that very often. Brock was more of a moderate to short completion, very accurate, but more of a timing and a kind of a scheme system type quarterback. Everyone loves that joke, right? The system quarterback. But Brock's, you know, his natural arm talent was not excellent. Now, what made him good was so many of the other things about that position, which is why he's on an NFL roster today.
Absolutely.
But Hunter, as you said, is completely different. The ability to make all three types of throws. Obviously, he has a strong arm. What stands out to me, Steen, is the way that he processes and hangs in the pocket. He does not get quick feet. He breaks what seemingly the play down very, very quickly. And he's still going to get better. There are times, like when he threw that interception to Xavier Hutchinson in the end zone, where he's going to throw it into double coverage and only stare at one receiver. But he's a redshirt sophomore, making his, you know, third start this weekend. That's to be expected. He will do that over the course of his career. But he is just – if you have watched him to date and don't see that he's special, I don't think you know what you're looking at, because it's pretty evident to me and to most people I've talked to who've watched him.
And I'm going to say this once again. We're talking to Matt Nelson. He is at after looking at MNelson_ISU. One of the things during the CMU game, I mean, we sit in Sukup, so I get to see when they're on offense. I get to see what he does. The simple fact that the wide receiver he's going to isn't, when he takes that snap, it's not that wide receiver he's looking at. He's looking off everybody else and throwing the ball. It's amazing to watch. And he does that, I think, X being as good and getting as many looks as he is because he's not staring him down all the time and letting him get open and knowing that he's going to get open, that he can always go back to him. But if you're Jack Campbell and you're looking at his eyes and you're trying to pick up where he's throwing, you're not going to get there.
No, and there are, so he can do that, and you know Jalen Knoll, I think, is going to continue to be a big feature of the offense team. But he can also move a little bit. We saw them kind of pull out the wrinkle of him running the ball against Iowa, which you're going to have. You know, he didn't run for much more than 15 yards, but you know they ran it with him five times. So now teams can see that on him film. So that's something you're going to have to account for. And with the way that the safeties were drawn back because of his arm threat, that opens up things for Jairo Brock. So I think what Cyclone fans are going to see, if you kind of read between the lines here of what I'm piecing together, is that they're going to have a pretty complete offense in a way that I don't think we had when Brock Purdy was here. And again, he put up terrific numbers. He was a great quarterback. He won basically every Big 12 game he played at home, with the exception of one or two. But this offense is just going to be much harder to game plan because Brock will cause your corners and safeties to sweat no matter where they're out on the field, because he can throw the ball anywhere.
Yeah, and he does. If you had to guess, the point spread for that Baylor game at 11 o'clock a week from Saturday will be?
Oh, man. Iowa State 4.5.
Really?
Somewhere in that range.
I like that. I like that a lot.
That's kind of where I think it'll be. You know, they haven't really looked outstanding. They're definitely still dangerous. I believe the over-under will be set fairly low. But if Iowa State wins this weekend, then you have to like not only their chances in that game, but what the rest of the season looks like. And everyone's been asking me what to expect this weekend, and I think it's Ohio, so it's maybe hard to take much. But what I'm going to be looking for is if you know, with the huge, all the reason in the world to have a letdown. You just beat your rival in their house. You're back at home. You're playing, you know, a team from the MAC that they probably feel confident that they can beat. If they cover that spread, whatever it's at right now, which last I checked is probably, you know, 18 points team. If they cover that spread and put up points and win by 25 to 30, you maybe continue, as we're continuing to try to evaluate what this team does in Big 12 play, that will tell you something, because this is a young team. They are going to make mistakes. This is a spot this weekend where they could play poorly. And if Ohio's got a good enough offense to cover, their defense is atrocious, but they've probably got a good enough offense to test the defense in a different way than what Iowa did on Saturday. So if I think Ohio to cover is probably the universal play, but just I think that'll influence the way I feel about this team even more, is if they can come in, be locked in, and play well against Ohio, knowing that you have Baylor coming in. I think that tells you that this team, while they're young, they've got a lot of good things going for them.
I'm gonna jump around here a little bit. Basketball insider talk. Early on when they were practicing, I talked to a few people, and you know, I'm asking who's playing good, who's playing good, and I said, hey, Taman Lipsey, and they're like, you know what, he's struggling a little bit. He's getting there. He's you know, I don't know yet. Now, fast forward 4 weeks, and you ask that same question to a couple of people, and they say he might be the best player on the floor. If that's true, that's going to be a really good basketball team.
And that's great for what TJ Osterberger wants to do, right? The guy who can play one of those, you know, two lead guard spots and is a really good defender, someone who hustles and is scrappy, but also maybe can bring you a little offense. If he just brings the defense team, that's going to be enough to get him onto the floor. And that's what makes me think if he's, you know, having that commanding of a presence, he's got to be able to put, or he must be putting the ball in the hoop in practice. And that should get Cyclone fans excited for a team that we know will be good on defense, but maybe needs a little boost on offense wherever they can get it.
Absolutely. And boy, do they have some offense getting ready to come in the next year. So there's that coming. So that's going to be fun as well. And I think that has a lot to say about TJ and how some of this stuff is starting to fall together. I think TJ always thought that TJ should have been there forever. And the fact that he got to come back, he's going to make the most of it.
I would agree. Maybe there is a bigger name that you were looking for this basketball team to add, but it seems like the type of team that TJ likes to have. And I know it may be a little bit ugly at times. Last year's team absolutely surprised us and went places we didn't expect. So I'm still fairly optimistic about what we will see from this team. And I think you'll get people in Hilton bought in, even though the style might be ugly, because we saw this style of basketball work last year. And he's definitely earned a little time with us to continue to develop this program.
He definitely did that. Okay. No longer is it going to be a long time before I get to talk to you, buddy. It's good to talk to you. I see you really soon.
Let's speak it into the universe. I'll see you next week.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Matty Nelson. Boy, is it nice to have him back in. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. One more segment. We'll be back right after this break.
This from the capital city, it's Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Last segment on this Wednesday. Drive safely home. You need to get you home. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. We'll take this time to thank the guest, David Eicholt, coming in, rocking Hawkeye Talk, Zach Steenblock, rocking NFL football, and Matty Nelson back in the house talking Iowa State. Extremely excited. After the show, right at 6 o'clock, pregame, Twins-Royals. Twins have to win games. All there is to it. They need to win 75% of their games coming in if they want to make the playoffs. Just end of story. Tomorrow night, even a bigger story. Kansas City Chiefs, Los Angeles Chargers. Two of the best teams in pro football. Two of the best offenses in pro football. Two of the best defenses in pro football. Two of the best... No. Only one really good coach and then another coach. We'll see what happens. Sorry. This is a joke. Twins Guardians on Friday, Saturday, UNI Sacramento, Sunday, Dolphins Ravens, Then we're going to jump to Bengals, Cowboys, joined in progress. Then we're going to jump to Bears and Packers, coming in that way. Then we're going to go Titans, Bills, joined in progress. Then you're going to go Vikings and Eagles. Titans, Bills is Monday night. That's first. And then we're going to join Vikings and Eagles in progress. Man, come on. There you go. Can't get any more sports on a sports station than you're getting right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. I want to thank all my sponsors, Des Moines Orthopedic, Heritage Building Maintenance, Woodman Controls, Iowa Cubs, Northwest Bank, Palmer Group, Come and Go, doing some Come and Go commercials. If you hear that in between, if you're kind of listening while we're not live on the air, have that going on as well. It's just nice. Thank you to the sales staff. Thank you to everyone involved. We're having a good time. So, and that is what it is all about. I didn't have time to talk to Maddie Nelson about Matt Campbell. Matt Campbell's not going to say anything. Matt Campbell's not going to do anything during the year. I would think, and I don't know what he's going to do. I have no idea. He has a really good thing going, and we'll have to see what happens. There's nothing that we can do about there's nothing we can do about any of this stuff. So that kind of I just want him to be there forever, and forever's a long time. Just some potpourri. I told you we were going to do some potpourri. We're gonna hit some potpourri here. Creed Humphrey plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. He took 41 pass-blocking snaps in Week 1. 0 sacks allowed, 0 hits allowed, and 793 pass-blocking snaps in his career so far. He's allowed 1 sack and 1 touch of Patrick Mahomes. And you wonder why Patrick Mahomes feels comfortable in his situation. Patrick Mahomes in season openers. And this is a really funny thing. So these are season openers where you've spent your entire last month getting ready for one team. He has 18 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and he's 5-0 in season openers. That is a crazy, crazy stat. One of the things that we kind of joked with it a little bit yesterday, inflation, how money and everything's going up, and gas went up 40 cents. I mean, it took 6 weeks for it to get under $3 a gallon, and it went up 60 cents in a day. A lot of people on social media, and kind of on both sides, because I think both sides are starting to get it. California proves one thing. It's that more spending, more government funding doesn't solve problems. Billions have been spent on homelessness with zero solutions, zero accountability. Building structure, road structure, water conservation, lots of money being spent and nothing happening. That has to be a huge burden when you're taking a look at it. And the problem that I have with all of it, I don't think it's a huge burden on the people that are making the decisions. That's not the way things are supposed to work. Most playoff games with 40-plus points over the last 3 seasons in the NBA. Luka Doncic has 8, Giannis has 7, and Jimmy Butler has 6. That's for you, Michael Gipple. I kind of said this, and I didn't say it as well, and I finally found the quote. It said, good news, Bronco fans. Nathaniel Hackett admitted he should have went for it on 4th down Monday night. Bad news, Bronco fans. I don't think he understands why he was wrong. That is kind of an issue. You did have some opening lines. If, you know, you're always going to get this Week 1. You're going to get some line movement in the NFL on wins, losses. The Buffalo Bills went from 11.5 to 12.5. The Minnesota Vikings went 9.5 to 10.5. The Eagles went 9.5 to 10.5. The Dolphins went from being under 500 to over 500. The Giants went from 7.5 to 8.5. The Commanders went 7.5 to 8.5. And the Bears went 5.5 to 6.5. if those move, you have to have some move the other way. The Rams went from 10.5 to 9.5. The Bengals went 9.5 to 8.5. The Cardinals went to 8.5 to 7.5. And the biggest movement, if you believe in your team and you believe in your owner and you believe in your quarterback, the Dallas Cowboys went from 10.5 to 6.5. 4 games. That's a ton. That is a lot. Grades came out over the weekend. I don't think any of these grades are controversial by any means. Do the NFC first. The New York Giants in two different places, their average grade was a B. The Eagles' average grade was a B plus. The Dallas Cowboys' grade was an F. And here's the funny thing. And if you listen to the people, if you listen to me, or if you listen to some of the national sports people, even with Dak Prescott in the game, their offense looked horrible. They missed CeeDee Lamb. They didn't replace him. They don't give Micah Parsons a similar player to not have him be doubled and triple teamed and clipped. I mean, clipped's not the right word for it. Running backs before they go out are nicking him and hitting him. If you had somebody else, they couldn't do that. The Commanders got a B. I think the Commanders should always get an F until they figure things out in their front office. And I'm going to take my last thing I'm going to talk about today is the NBA and its front office and what's going on. The Atlanta Falcons got a B. The Carolina Panthers got a C minus. And I thought, you know, give them a C minus for the first half, and I think you give them a B minus for the second half, but they didn't do that. The Saints, they give a B plus to. You still have Jameis Winston. I don't know what you do there. Tampa Bay an A minus, but man, are they in trouble with their offensive line. Chicago Bears a B minus. I mean, people were expecting a D, and they got a B minus, so I think that's a good thing. The Green Bay Packers a C. I think they were being generous. I think that was a D. Detroit Lions a B plus. I don't think you give them a B plus for, they almost won. I think it's probably a B. The Minnesota Vikings an A plus. Have somebody come in here and fight me on that. I have no idea. Everything that they did worked. The 49ers a C minus. I agree. They have no idea, but it was also a monsoon. You're going to know more. You'll know a better grade for San Francisco this weekend. The Arizona Cardinals a D. They looked uninterested, and I think that Kyler Murray, a lot of talk has been the coach has been covering Kyler Murray's warts. I think Kyler Murray has been covering his. The Rams got a C plus. It was Super Bowl hangover. It was all the good stuff that happened, and they didn't play well. And the Seattle Seahawks a B. Shouldn't have won that game. It was kind of given to them. The Buffalo Bills got an A plus. The Kansas City Chiefs got an A plus. The Los Angeles Chargers got an A minus. The Broncos got a C, probably well deserved. The Bengals got a C plus, probably deserved. The Ravens, the Steelers, and the Browns got B minuses, probably deserved. The Houston Texans got a B minus, and the rest of their division got C's. And the Miami Dolphins got a B plus. The New England Patriots got a D plus. That was probably generous. The New York Jets got a C plus. That was probably generous. So you kind of see where things are headed in that general direction. So what I wanted to talk about, and I wanted to see, let me see if I can pull it up really quick. I don't have much time. Maybe I'll save this for tomorrow, but it bothered me. The NBA owner of the Phoenix Suns, and I think it's the Phoenix Mercury, some of the things that people knew that he was guilty of, and he pays a $15 million fine, slap on the wrist, if that, and a year suspension for doing some things. But then he gets to go back and be in his same role in charge of people that I think that he's lost their trust. If that would have been a player or a coach, I think that punishment would have been different, and I don't think that's the way the NFL needs to be. We'll see what happens. You never know. Get ready. You're going to get some Minnesota Twins pregame. They have to win these remaining games if they want to get in the playoffs. I will see you tomorrow. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Back live tomorrow.